With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Lewis Shackshaft. I'm joined today by Jake Jackman. It's obviously the international break at the minute. So how are you enjoying the international break, Jake?
Yeah, enjoying it. I mean, missing out on football, but there's always football going on. Don't mind watching a bit of England. I'm not one of those haters of the international break like some people, I think.
Well, I am a little bit. That's, you know, I'm going to put it out there and say I do miss Championship Premier League football. You know, supporting England's been decent, hasn't it, this last 12 months. But just one or two games to look out for me. I can't cope with that, if I'm honest. So that is frustrating. But let's keep it Championship, obviously, orientated straight into who we think the manager of the month should be, Jake. Plenty of candidates, or should I say, there's two what do stand out. But what's your thoughts regarding managers what do stand out in your eyes?
Yeah, I think the obvious ones have got to be Lee Bowyer at Charlton. I think he's done excellently. Everybody's predicting them to struggle, and they've done quite well. Obviously, they're in second, which is incredible. I think they're outperforming their underlying stats a little bit. I think they maybe it will level itself out, and they're on a bit of a hot streak. But, you know, results are results, and it is a results business, and four wins, two draws, you can't criticise them at all. And some of the games they've had, you know, they went away to Reading. They've been tipped as a team that could go and do something this year with some of the signings, impressed against Cardiff home. They went there and won 2-0, beat Brentford, a team a lot of people like, Nottingham Forest, a draw, then obviously beating Stoke and Blackburn. You know, it's not like they've had an easy run of it. They've had some tricky games, as they all are in the Championship.
Yeah, definitely.
But there's some noticeably tricky ones there. So I think that they're definitely, he definitely deserves credit. Obviously, Cooper at Swansea. People thought that might have been an appointment that went awfully. Maybe would have come into senior football and not done quite as well as he did in youth football. But he's brought in a few players that he knows. Freddie Woodman, the goalie on loan from Newcastle, I know well as a Newcastle fan. He knows Cooper through youth football, and he's obviously used his connections there. And he's come in and been one of the better goalies in the Championship during the first five or six weeks. Top of the league, nobody expected them to be there. Everybody thought if they sold McBurney, they'd struggle. But yet they are sitting top of the league, and they've reintegrated a couple of players there. Borja Bastos and Andre Ayew. Can sometimes be difficult to bring those players into a squad because there's a lot of young players there not getting paid a lot. I'm sure Ayew and Bastos are getting paid double, treble, maybe four times as much as some of those players, and can sometimes be difficult to manage that one. But he's done really well there, really bringing those two in, and the two players that have a lot of quality in this division and probably shouldn't be playing in the Championship, but they're there. Nobody else wants them, and the way he's managed the squad, in addition to some of the tactical stuff, of course, but the way he's just managed that, you know, difficult selection of egos, and Andre Ayew, nobody would have expected him to turn it on in the Championship. Yet he's done really well at the start of the season. I think those two have got to be the main two. I think I still would have went for these two, even if Leeds would have beaten Swansea before the international break. I think these two are the standout ones. I mean, that result really does give Cooper an extra boost, but I still think I would have spoken about him above Bielsa purely just because of the different expectations of the two clubs. There's a few others around as well. I think Mark Warburton maybe deserves a little bit of credit for how he started off at QPR. Nobody gave him a hope, and I think they've delivered some really good performances. Maybe haven't got the results they've deserved. They might even say that they deserve to have more than 10 points with some of their performances. So I think that it's got to be Cooper and Bowyer at the top two, but I would give a little bit of credit to Warburton as well, maybe one that other people might not. And at West Brom, Bilic has an unbeaten start, but it's maybe the three draws there maybe just discredit him a little bit compared to the other two I've discussed. But yeah, it's got to be one of the top two, and I'd probably go Bowyer, to be honest, just because I just think it's incredible they're unbeaten and they've got four wins.
I've got to agree with you. Yeah, you can't look past the top two. Like you said, you kind of stole my next question regarding if it had been a different outcome versus Leeds. We all know what Leeds are about, and I'm sure, yeah, they're going to be thereabouts come the end of the season. But Swansea, like you say, six games, five wins, only conceding four goals and scoring 12 with 16 points, sat first in the league. Obviously, fantastic start from Cooper there and Swansea City, which you've touched on. But for me, yeah, if I had to choose as well, I'd probably go with Bowyer, despite them being in second place, just because for me and probably most people, they're just completely overachieving at the minute. Like you say, I reckon, you know, as time goes on and we're only six games in, as I always keep saying, it's early days, they will probably start to slowly drop lower in the league. But as you know, as the season started and without defeat yet, which is unbelievable for a Charlton side that most people probably tip to go down this season, conceding five goals, scoring 11 as well, only one of three teams who've, you know, remained unbeaten. And you, I know you mentioned his name, but that was going to bring me on to Bilic. I know you said that they got three draws, but do you not think there is more of a case that Bilic could potentially be, you know, do better in the running for manager of the month than we think with him, you know, like say being unbeaten, Jake? Because I think up to now, West Brom have gone under the radar slightly. And I know a lot of people know what West Brom are all about, and I expect them to be up there. I think I had them in my predictions to be second at the end of the season. But has Bilic started better than you thought in this first six games?
Yeah, I think the thing about Bilic is it's difficult because they've conceded a goal in every game they've played. They've had a few difficult draws. Derby and Reading, probably games they should be winning, and Millwall as well. You see, look at those three games, they could really be at least five or six wins. So I think they've had quite a kind opening of the season, and the fact they've conceded as many as seven goals is a little bit of a worry for me, to be honest, Louis. I think that they should be doing a little bit better. I think I want to see more from them. I think that I'd even talk about Bielsa as having done a better job than Bilic and being more deserving of a manager of the month award. I think that their overall performances, Leeds, have just been another level, and although they're only on 13 points, I think they've probably been the best team if you look at it on the chances created and the chances they're given up. I think they've still been the best team, and as the season goes on, the league table will likely show that.
Well, they've still only conceded three goals, haven't they? The least amount in the division. And we can go back to the Leeds United Swansea game and say that, you know, on another day, that Leeds would have picked up at least a point in that game. You know, many people might have said that Swansea were lucky, particularly scoring a goal in the 90th minute. No, it's still credit to Swansea to go to Elland Road and pick up points, or all 3 points, because not many teams will do that this season. But, you know, 21 shots at goal. I know Leeds only had three on target. And again, you've got to praise Swansea City for that. But like we say, on another day, I think Leeds United will be getting at least 1 point in every home game that they will play this season. So I completely agree with what you're saying. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bielsa does win a couple of Manager of the Month awards throughout the course of the season. So let's move on to Player of the Month. Obviously, loads of candidates for this, from goalkeepers to strikers, midfielders, you know, in terms of assists and goals scored. What names stand out for you in particular, Jake?
Yeah, I think there's a few here that I'd like to talk about. I think one of the obvious ones is Lyle Taylor, similar to Charlton.
Yeah.
He's come up from League One, done excellently, got five goals. I know there's been a few penalties in that, but he's stepped up and shown that he can score goals in this division. And it's been a real figurehead for that Charlton team. And if you watch Charlton, he is really a figurehead, and he does do a lot for the team in terms of work rate and holding the ball up. Obviously scores the goals. So yeah, he's had an excellent start to the season, and the fact he's transitioned upper league makes his achievements a you know, a little bit more deserving of praise than some of the other people that you might look at for goals, in terms of scoring goals. Obviously Mitrovic is up there, but we know what he can do in this division, and I don't know if he's done enough to deserve a player of the month award. Another one I think is Johnny Williams. I think he's had a really good start to the season from Chelsea.
He has, yes.
And obviously Johnson from Preston's another one who started well and looks like he's really stepping up after Robinson left the club. And I think he's been talked about for this award. So there's quite a few. Another one is John Swift and obviously Freddie Woodman. I think that for me, they're the players that really jump out at most of all for me as a potential player of the month winners. I'd probably go Lyle Taylor. I just think he's done excellently and obviously got the goals, and Charlton's achievements have just been so incredible, really, for a club that was scrambling around. Their manager left the club and then came back, and they're scrambling around for players, and they've managed to put together this run, and Lyle Taylor's just been a constant throughout all of it. So I think he probably deserves it for me.
Okay, I've got a slightly different view. I agree in the fact that Taylor should definitely be a candidate. He's scored 5 goals so far, as well as Mitrovic, Hugill and Baston at Swansea. It's interesting that you also mentioned Johnny Williams, because I think he's gone under the radar a little bit at Charlton and done particularly well this season, as has John Swift, both of those players with 4 assists this season. But the player for me who I think will win Player of the Month is Johnson at Preston. He's scored 4 goals and got 3 assists, so contributing to 7 goals in total in just 6 games. He's been like certainly a clog in their wheel, the games that I've seen him play. I know he's managed to score a few penalties. But other than that, you know, his creativity as well has just been fantastic so far this season. There is other players what have scored 4 goals in the division as well, such as Bamford, Graben, Grant at Huddersfield, and another player what's been great, again, one of my favourite players in the division, Ollie Watkins. I don't think he'll win the award on this occasion, but for me, if I had to choose, like I said, I'd go with Johnson. So we're both going with Bowyer for manager, Jake, and you're going with Taylor from Charlton for the player award, and I'm going with Johnson, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how I see it.
Yeah, we'll wait for the outcome of that one then. But during the international break as well, Jake, we've discussed many times on this podcast this last few weeks if we think there'll be any managerial changes, ingoings or outcomings. Well, over the past few days, as we record, we've had confirmation of 2 managers in the division, which is Gary Monk to Sheffield Wednesday and Danny Cowley and his brother to Huddersfield Town. Let's talk about Gary Monk initially. Now, I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so I'll offer my insight and opinion after you, Jake. I'm intrigued to hear what you're going to say. What's your thoughts on the appointment of Monk at Sheffield Wednesday? Is that good for their short and long-term future?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a difficult one, really. I didn't really expect Gary Monk to come back into football this quickly. I think that the way he left Birmingham was just weird. He didn't sort of a lot of stuff about transfers and agents and weird stuff going on behind the scenes. It was a little bit concerning. Normally when a story like that emerges, the manager in question normally takes a little bit of time out and sort stuff out, and it might be that he was getting stuff in order to take over at Sheffield Wednesday, and that's why the appointment's taken so long. I think he's a good manager, to be honest. I think he did quite well at Swansea in a difficult situation in the Premier League. Did well at Leeds for a long time. Probably should have finished in the playoffs that season, but thought he did quite well, to be honest, and was one of the few managers that went into Leeds and did quite a good job before Bielsa. Obviously, Bielsa is another level of coach, but for a long time, Monk was probably the best manager they had at Leeds. And obviously went on and didn't do great at Middlesbrough. Maybe managing a relegated club is a completely different thing to managing a stable Championship club trying to get promotion. It can be very difficult, and to manage the squad, change things about, and get yourself competing, it can be very difficult. And we've seen the struggle that Stoke have had, the problems that Middlesbrough have had since. It is a difficult one, so I won't judge him too much on that. And I think he did really well at Birmingham. A very difficult situation to go in there.
It was.
Financial problems, a very big squad to start off with, a team that was losing a lot of the time. And he did. He came in and did very well there. I thought he stabilised it, got them to stay up. And I thought for a long period last season, they looked like they could push for the playoffs, and the points deduction stuff happened and made that difficult. But I think that he's done really well. In a lot of the jobs, but I just think we haven't seen him do amazingly well. It's just been quite steady, and I think that Sheffield Wednesday need somebody now that can take them to the next level and get them competing. And it's managing a squad. Sheffield United to me are a squad with a lot of big reputation Championship players, but not many of them have done it in the last 12, 18 months. They're living off reputations a little bit, and they need somebody to go in there and to turn them into the players that they once were, and maybe age has got to them, they're never going to be those players again. But it's an interesting challenge going into Sheffield Wednesday. I think they made a few good signings during the summer. I think Harris is a good signing. I think Murphy's a good signing, added some pace to the team. I think there's something to work with there, definitely. But they should see this season as a you know, the first of Gary Monk. Give him time with these players. Let him bring a couple of players in, do a little bit of his own business, shape the squad, and then next season it's going to be the one we're going to really see, because it's so difficult to come into a club this early. But I think it's a good appointment for Wednesday on the whole. I think they did the right thing bringing in a manager. Would have been, for a time it looked like they might give Bullen a go, but I think they've done the right thing, and I think Monk's got something to prove now. He's had a few big jobs in the Championship, and now he really needs to go and cement himself as a coach that can go on and win promotion.
Yeah, definitely. I think from my point of view, I agree that, you know, Monk is a good manager at this level. I think he'll bring more consistency in results at Sheffield Wednesday than what Lee Bullen may have done. Lee Bullen's done a great job as caretaker manager, you know, on numerous occasions now. I just think his lack of experience and whatever year has just let him down slightly in a couple of key fixtures that we've played this season, and similar happened last season as well when Jos Luukay left. But in terms of Gary Monk, you know, he wasn't my first choice, actually. Chris Hughton was, but, you know, he supposedly rejected the job, and he's rejected a few. But after that, it'd have been Danny Cowley, who we're going to come on to at Huddersfield. I think Cowley would have been a risk, but at the same time, he's, you know, at Lincoln City, you know, his record is second to none with two promotions, and his win percentage was, you know, unbelievably high. I think it was about 53%. And I liked him just being given a chance at Sheffield Wednesday, you know, a bigger club in a higher division. But having said that, Gary Monk, in many ways, and Danny Cowley are very similar. The only, you know, difference that you can distinguish between both guys is that Monk's just got more experience as a Championship manager and at a higher level, particularly with Swansea City. But they're both 40-year-old. So for me, like I say, Monk will bring consistency to Sheffield Wednesday. He knows the division inside out. if you look at his win percentages, actually, at the clubs in the Championship, Leeds United 47%, very good win percentage there. If you're bordering 50% or roughly around that estimate, then you're doing very well. 25 wins in 53 games there. Middlesbrough 46% win percentage. You probably wouldn't have thought it'd have been that high, but 12 wins in just only the 26 games, and then 32% win percentage for Birmingham. But like you said, in difficult circumstances, 19 wins from 59 there. So yes, once it gets to January, he's had a transfer window, probably got rid of a couple of players and brought a few in. I think if he is given time, then definitely he's definitely one of the better managers that were available. I'm just, you know, thanking the Lord that we didn't bring in such as a Tony Pulis or an Alan Pardew. For me, it had to be Danny Cowley or Gary Monk. So time will tell with Monk, and I hope things, obviously from my perspective, supporting Sheffield Wednesday, but I'm really hoping things work out for the best, and see what he can do this season. And then if not, like you've already said, Jake, everything might be riding on next season now, because he's got, you know, he's going to take a few months to adapt and find his first 11 to start with, particularly with all the strikers that we've got and players on loan. So we'll see how that one pans out. But then let's discuss Cowley. Yes, we've touched on it already, or should I say, I have in particular. But he's been announced as Huddersfield Town boss when it looked like that wasn't going to happen, only probably 4 or 5 days ago, supposedly down to wages, maybe more likely. But it's been confirmed today. So what's your opinion on that one, Jake?
Yeah, I think this one's a really exciting appointment. It's a gamble for sure. Huddersfield, though, have not been up to much at the start of the season. They've got a good squad there. I don't think he can come in and do much worse than they've already done. And it's an exciting appointment, one that the fans will really get behind. I think Danny Cowley and his brother have done really, really well in the lower leagues. Got Lincoln promoted from the Conference up to League One. I think, and even this season, they've been one of the better teams during the first month of the season, and look like they could go again and maybe challenge for promotion to the Championship. They're really innovative, hard-working people. They're very into the sort of the details and the analytics of the game, and they really do put in the extra yards, and it's not a surprise that Lincoln will run a lot more professionally under them in the Conference, and now they're in League One and really fulfilling the size of that club. So yep. The fact that they've done that there, I think they can go into a Championship club and do really well and get them up there, because they're just, I think they're English coaches that deserve a chance, and they've been given one. Similar to sort of Gary Rowett going in at Stoke last season, and of course Nathan Jones going in at Stoke. Stoke have brought in a couple of these highly rated lower league managers that haven't quite had the experience, and it hasn't really gone well. So it's interesting that Huddersfield, you know, another relegated club, have gone a similar way. I think the one thing I would say is Huddersfield have got a much younger, less difficult squad than Stoke maybe have with those high earners, and just being a Premier club that had the Pulis Hughes style for a long time, and changing that can take time. I don't think it's going to be as difficult for Cowley at Huddersfield. I think they've got players there that can play the type of football he wants to play. I think they'll be very good to watch. I think it's going to be good for Alex Pritchard, one that will benefit. I think Colin Grant will benefit. I think some of the sort of foreign attackers they've got will benefit from it. And Penza is one that I think it could, not in Penza, sorry, Diakabi is one that could really benefit from it. He's got so much talent, and this manager will change well for him. I just think that they've got talent in that squad, and I think that in Cowley they've got a fresh start. It's quite a good match for where Huddersfield are now, and he's leaving Lincoln in such a safe job to take the step up to Huddersfield, but I think that it's quite a good fit for him. Probably a better fit than Sheffield Wednesday would have been, to be honest. I think that Huddersfield have already got all the tools to be successful. They just need that manager that can give it. It will be interesting to see how the players take to him. because a lot of them have played Premier League football very recently, and to have this coach that, you know, has never managed above League One, and even in League One he's only got a handful of matches. It's a huge gamble, but I think it's one that's worth taking. And I think that I'd be shocked if he wasn't a success at Huddersfield. I really would be. I think that him and his brother are such a good team. You saw what they did in the FA Cup when at Lincoln as well, obviously going all the way. I think it's the quarterfinals, wasn't it? They went so far with a non-league team. They are just, yeah, they're excellent football minds. They deserve a chance. And it's good to see young British coaches down in League One and League Two being given chances by Championship clubs. And it's a surprise that maybe they've gone for him after seeing what's happening with Jones and Stoke. But I think we need that one real success story to make sure that clubs continue to take a chance on young English coaches. And I think these two, the manager, obviously the brothers, manager, assistant manager, these two could really be the ones to make that path one that is used a lot more often. And I hope they are. I think just the way that they go about the game, just how hard working and the attention to detail. When you read a lot of stories about them, just how obsessive they are about their jobs, and just the extra mile they go is maybe quite rare for non-league and lower league managers, but they're just a different breed of coach coming up through the leagues. And I just really hope they are a success, and they are the sort of the lightning bearers for these people to come up through the leagues and manage in the Championship, and hopefully then go into the Premier League as well. I think that they've got a really bright future. It's a gamble, I think, going to Huddersfield. I think that they could have waited and a better job would have come along, but it's good to see them taking a gamble. And I think that just the upside of Huddersfield, there's definitely an opportunity for them there, and I think they'll be successful.
Yeah, I agree with you in many ways, in the fact that, you know, it's good to see English managers at that age being given the opportunities, because they certainly deserve it, what they've achieved in their careers so far. And the only thing I disagree with you slightly, Jake, is saying that, and this isn't me being biased, by the way, but you know, you said about the Cowleys going to Huddersfield probably more suited than the Sheffield Wednesday job. I'm just concerned that if they'd have taken the Sheffield Wednesday job, maybe they'd have had a more opportunity to prove themselves, because Sheffield Wednesday have essentially got nothing to prove this season, if that makes sense. Whereas the Huddersfield, I just really hope for their sake that they haven't gone there and it turns into a similar situation to the Nathan Jones at Stoke City. Because, you know, Stoke City, you could say there's a bad egg there at the minute, essentially. And you know, Jones is probably not the problem. And I just really hope, like I say, for Danny Cowley and his brother's sake, that they haven't gone there. And, you know, with the expectation of Huddersfield fans coming down from the Premier League, and, you know, they've started that badly, that is top six even a, you know, minimum expectation anymore? I'm not so sure. So for that reason, like I say, there's concerns and question marks. But again, it's not over those, you know, Danny Cowley as a manager. It's more of a club. Like you say, they could have maybe stuck around and hung out for another job that may have made more sense in terms of a club like a Nottingham Forest or even a Preston, where they, you know, can take a club to that next level. Huddersfield should already be at that next level and sitting in the top six in the league. So yes, I know you know, it's the beginning of the season and they've got a lot of time on their hands. But you know, we've talked so much about Nathan Jones this past month or so and how things aren't working out for him at the minute, and it's not his fault. Like I say, I just don't want that scenario again at another club in the Championship. So I really hope, and you know, even though we're a rival to my team, I wish him the best at Huddersfield, and it'd be great to see, you know, what can I say, the next Eddie Howe managing a club in the Premier League as well as he's doing with Bournemouth. So that takes us nicely into previews and predictions, because let's continue with the Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday theme. Both teams playing on Sunday, which would be the 15th for 12 o'clock kickoff. What's your preview and prediction with this one, Jake, with two managers now incoming head-to-head in that fixture?
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting one. I think it's going to be too soon to judge either. even manager. Both are going to want to change a few things. I've probably seen that Sheffield Wednesday are a little bit more settled, to be honest. They've had three wins this year. The new signings, they have settled in quite well. And I think that they're going to go into it a little bit more settled. But then Huddersfield have got the home advantage. They've got the new managers. The atmosphere is always great there. One of the better atmospheres in the league. So it's going to be a difficult one to call, really. I'd probably set the fence and say a 1-1 draw, but I think Huddersfield are probably the more likely winners just for that home advantage. But yeah, I'll sit on the fence and say a draw.
I really hope you weren't going to say a 1-1 draw, because that's what I'm going to say. And the reasons behind it is, you know, Huddersfield have lost four on the bounce now. Sheffield Wednesday have lost the last two league fixtures as well. So not great form from either side. But with Sheffield Wednesday, I'd have been quietly confident going into this fixture. I'd have probably predicted a 2-1 Wednesday win if, you know, Cowley hadn't been appointed this week and they were still managerless. But with Cowley, it's going to obviously bring that spark. You know, a lot to play for now. They need to build momentum, but so does Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield could also be sat bottom of the league on Sunday as well if Stoke managed to pick up a point or more on the Saturday prior to this fixture. So yeah, that's my reasoning behind just predicting 1-1. It's on Sky, and like I say, both managers will not want to lose this first contest, will they? Going head to head in their first managerial tie as they've taken charge of those clubs. So yeah, for me, I'm sitting on the fence as well, but 1-1. But let's go back to the Saturday, or should I say the Friday even. Let's start with Friday at 7:45 on the evening. Derby entertain Cardiff, Jake. What's your thoughts and prediction for this?
Yeah, I think I'll probably go for a difficult one again. I think that Derby have not been great this year. I'll probably go Cardiff 1-0, but it's a tough one to call.
Yeah, I understand why you've said that. For me, I'm going to go 2-1 Cardiff as well. I think, you know, after the drubbing by Brentford that they gave to Derby, I just think, you know, there's that inconsistency there with Derby at the minute, who's sitting 19th. I know Cardiff haven't got off to the best start, managed to stay unbeaten though in their last three games. You know, Derby haven't won in five games now, and I'm not sure that they've quite found their feet yet. So with the experience and the manager, you know, Neil Warnock in charge, I just think that they've got that added quality, the manager that can get a victory in this game. So like I say, I'm going to go 2-1 to Cardiff City, which then takes us into the Saturday fixtures. 12:30 kickoff, the first game on the Saturday, which is a tough one to call again, Jake. Fulham versus West Brom. What's your thoughts on that one?
This is going to be a great game. And I think that it's going to be one that just shows where both teams are, really. West Brom obviously conceding a lot of goals going away to Craven Cottage. It would be a surprise if that record came to an end. Don't expect to see a West Brom clean sheet. But then with Fulham, you know, they're up in sixth. They've got a platform now. But the defeat to Nottingham Forest a couple of weeks ago maybe showed that they weren't unbeatable at home. And going away to Cardiff and getting that draw, recovered a little bit, but still question marks about this Fulham team. Many people were expecting them to be running away at the top of the league, and I'm not convinced by them yet. And it's going to be a really, really interesting game. I'm going to go for a Fulham win just because I'm really not convinced by West Brom. And I think they conceded too many goals. And if you're going to Craven Cottage with, you know, Knockhart, Cavallero and Mitrovic and Kearney, it's you know, if you don't have a strong defence, it could get quite embarrassing for you. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Fulham home win, and I think that we're gonna. I just think Fulham at home are a different team. I think that they're gonna have a lot of the ball, and West Brom have just shown they can't defend. So, I think it's gonna be a real wake up call for Slaven Bilic. But I think it's probably one we'll look back on as a positive West Brom of the season, because I think they just need that one big poor result to really knock their senses together at the back, and I think this is going to be it. I'm going to go for a big Fulham win, to be honest, but that's not because I think Fulham are going to be in the top two. I just think that at home they're going to batter some good teams this season. I just think that they've got the players to do it. It's away from home that I worry about them a little bit more.
Yeah, I can see why you've said that. The firepower they've got up front, and at home, you know, Fulham can beat anybody quite comfortably on their day. I know they can. But I'm not going to go with a Fulham win. I think, you know, West Brom, despite conceding goals, have still impressed me going forward. I've got to, you know, mention again that they are still unbeaten. They haven't lost a game this season in six, 1-3, drawn 3. And I think, yeah, it should be an entertaining game with plenty of goals. I'm not going to go for 3-0 Fulham because I think West Brom are going to score a couple. So I'm going to go for 2-2 in this fixture. I know previously I said that the Leeds United Swansea fixture on the last episode will probably be plenty of goals and entertaining, and there was only one goal in that, so I could be wrong in this one as well. Usually am, but it'll probably be 1-0 as well. But no, I'm going to go for 2-2 and say this, yeah, it should be one of the most entertaining games of the day, and one that I'll look forward to watching the highlights of. And then the final game, let's do first in the division versus 10th, which is Swansea City versus Nottingham Forest. Do you think Swansea will continue their good run of form and get victory in this fixture, Jake?
Nottingham Forest are a team that I still don't quite know what to make of. Had that win away at Fulham, which is a really impressive win, but then following that up with a draw against Preston, it's difficult to know where to place them. Obviously, a draw against Leeds early on and a loss to West Brom, so I've had some really difficult fixtures. Haven't delivered that big performance yet, but they've never been poor either. There's a lot more to come from this Forest team. Obviously, a lot of players in that squad. It can be difficult for a new manager to manage that. I think this one's going to be it's going to be a good test for both teams, really. I think Swansea's home advantage and just their momentum probably sees them to a win, but it's going to be tricky. I'm not going to guarantee a Swansea win. I'm going to go for it just because I think it's the most likely result, but I think it's going to be a really tricky game, and could be another one where we maybe see that the problems at Nottingham Forest can cause for a team competing at the top end of the league. I think Nottingham Forest are not going to be a top three team, but I think they could easily be a 6th to 10th team causing problems for those top 4 or 5. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a really interesting test. Probably one of the ones I'd say a standout fixture of the weekend. I'd like to see that one if it was on TV, but obviously it's not. But I think it's going to be an interesting one. Yeah, I'll go for the Swansea win, but I have a feeling about Forest. I do think they can pull out big results. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I've got to agree with every word you said there. You don't know what you're going to get with Forest at the minute, although they are unbeaten in 5 games now, winning 2, drawing 3 of those. They did have that great victory away at Fulham when Graben got that brace. So, yeah, that kind of proves that, again, you don't know what you're going to get. I think, you know, they still need a bit of time to find the feet in this division under Lamucci. But based on, like, what you've said, being at home and, you know, the fantastic start to the season, confidence is high, got players and consistency and goals coming from all around the park. And the international break probably came at the right time for Swansea as well, just having that added rest to then rebuild, recoup and go again until the next international break. So for me, and whatever reason, just a gut instinct, is that I'm going to go with Swansea as well, simply because, again, with Forest, there's still that question mark for me, although on their day, I'm sure they can go away to many teams and beat them. But I'm going to go 2-1 Swansea City. But unfortunately, Jake, that's that for this episode. So if you just want to let people know listening where they can find you on Twitter, that'd be great.
Yeah, get me on Twitter as always at Joe Japan with 2 N's. I report APL Index, feature on the Premier League show as well. And yeah, I just tweet quite a lot about anything football. So yeah, check that out.
And I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. But more importantly, please remember to follow the show at Championship Pod, where we post each show to our pin tweet. Please subscribe to the show as well. Retweet and like if you want to. But we want to thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.